Okay, Rory here. It's Friday evening. Nobody at Microsoft has gone home. It's nearly 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and I'm standing in the hallway of Building 42 with several gentlemen. I'm going to have them introduce themselves one by one. It should be known before we continue that they all work on Blend. And are we calling it Expression Blend now? Is that okay? Just making sure I've got the most recent name and that I've got it all right. Oh, really? Does it? Okay, well, Expression Blend. I'll just go back and edit all the video so that it's... anyway, so you, sir. Name, title, rank.
I'm Celso Gomez. I work as interactive media designer. I've been in the team just for 3 weeks now.
You've been on the team for 3 weeks?
Brand new.
Power user in residence.
Wow. So as a power user in residence, what does that mean exactly? What do you do?
I use the product a lot and try to do as much fun as I can with the product, and it's big fun.
You actually get paid to use the product?
Oh, yeah.
That's really weird.
He gets paid to break the product.
You get paid to break the product and then tell people what went wrong with it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wow, okay, well, we'll come back to you. That's neat. Christian, we met you in the Expression video, but why don't you go on ahead and introduce yourself again?
Sure. So I'm Christian Schaumann. I'm responsible for program management. That is basically the specs, the content of the product for both Acrylic and Sparkle and some other things we're doing here in this group.
Okay. And you, sir?
My last name is very difficult to pronounce. I'll just use my first name. I'm Uni, and I'm a program manager on Expression Blend.
Okay. Very good. And then finally...
My name is Aaron Jasinski. I am a product designer for the Blend user interface.
Okay.
And expression in general.
So what's like a general day like for you? What do you do?
A couple of meetings, go over the style guide. I'm responsible primarily for defining and iterating on the style guide and then seeing that it gets implemented the right way.
So you're sort of like an artsy person. Like you.
My background definitely is in art and design, background in graphic design.
You understand colors, like the difference between like purple and fuchsia?
Sure.
I don't. I have no idea, but maybe we can demo that later. Can we head over to your office?
Absolutely.
Would that be all right? Okay,
yeah,
so cool. we're going to on a little field trip here through the offices of Building 42 and head on over to Aaron's office and just see what's going on, see what these people do.
This is my crib, as they say.
Oh, the crib. Yeah. I like that. I hate to do this to you. Could we get a little bit of light?
Absolutely, no problem.
I know it sometimes ruins the atmosphere, and people like to work in... Okay, that is the single most interesting whiteboard I've seen in any Microsoft office. I don't know that we can actually call it a whiteboard anymore, actually, given everything covering it.
It's the inspiration board.
So there are actual like specs interwoven into this... sort of collage, aren't there?
Yeah, the theory that I have behind this is I'd like to never erase anything, so if anybody needs to draw something, I say just draw it on top of everything else that's there. Don't erase anything. I kind of see it as sort of a look back through time.
What are you going to... I mean, when the product ships, what are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do with the board? Are you going to frame it? Are you going to have it put up somewhere? Are you going to photograph it and make it into wallpaper? I mean, how are you going to keep it forever?
That would be up to my boss, I guess. Maybe I can take it with me.
Maybe we should stick it in the museum or something, because this is really... I mean, it's slightly more imaginative than my whiteboard, just with all the drawings and colors and things. Actually, I don't have a whiteboard, so you kind of beat me there entirely. So we are in your office, though.
Yeah.
Can we see some of the stuff that you do, like some of what you work on? Okay.
Well, like
you guys want to come on in and...
Yeah, sure.
And
I'll jump right in.
Maybe you can go in there and destroy something for us, since that's your job. You find out what's wrong and... Ooh, we're not going to film his Outlook box, so how are you guys? Well, he's looking at his email. Oh, neat. Wow, okay, so I'm sorry, I've got ADD when it comes to Star Wars toys. So you got, like, the Y-Wing Lego fighter there?
Absolutely.
Are these yours? Did you do these?
These are mine, yeah. I'm a bit of a Legos fan.
What's this one? I don't recognize this model.
That's the droid... I believe that's the droid TIE fighter.
Was that from episode 3?
From one of the newer episodes, yeah.
Wow, should that even be in there with all the cool old Star Wars stuff?
There was a TIE fighter pack that came with...
So obligated to build, even though they had the non-canon material.
Absolutely,
extent.
It's a little bit apocryphal, but
and you've got the one that the transformer that held
absolutely.
The tape. That's
that
actually.
Wave.
I had this guy right here, the Porsche. Except that a friend of mine broke the Porsche, and then he said he didn't, and I was really poor and I didn't get another one. So it kind of hurts me to see that brings back bad memories. But
yeah.
We're not here to talk about old stuff. We're here to talk about new stuff, specifically Expression Blend. So I'm sorry, you said, what were your duties on the product exactly?
So as a product designer, I'm primarily responsible for the look and feel of the applications.
Okay.
That goes through for the entire suite. And so I did a lot of iteration on researching what is out there in the market already, looking at some possible future trends, and also iterating on different styles that could possibly make it into the product in the long term. And then once we've sort of defined a look and a feel direction, was responsible for iterating on the style guide, and then also helping to implement and oversee that the developers were kind of following the style.
Yeah, cracking the whip, right. Basically.
Go to a dark evil look.
Dark evil look? Is that what you called it?
This would be it. So this is
I like that.
This is the look and feel so far of the program. It's slowly changing some details here and there as it.
So that's Microsoft Expression Blend. Yep. Now I'm a dev, right? So what exactly is Expression Blend?
Let's see, Christian. Maybe you can take that question.
Expression Blend is basically a tool to build WPF user interfaces. So the problem is, today designers basically usually make bitmap comps and throw them over the wall to developers. The developers then go and re-implement what the designers have drawn, and when they come back with the results, the designers look at it and say, oh, that wasn't quite what we meant. So in order to get great user experiences, we really want to get designers to get deeper involved in the whole process of actually constructing the user interface. And with WPF, we have a cool platform for this, and we also need a tool that designers can actually use to do that, and that's what Blend is.
So the basic idea then, instead of having developers go in and destroy user interfaces, you can have real artists go in and create nice interfaces.
That kind of like would be the point of it, yeah.
Yeah, that's the main point of it, I guess.
So the idea is that basically you can, well, for version one, we really want to, really our mission at the Expression Group is we want to help designers to create great user experiences for both interactive media and interactive applications. That's really our goal. So we start with a product that is really for WPF, which is largely a client-side platform. So WPF is really there to build big client applications, like actually Blend itself. Blend itself is a WPF application. It's entirely built in the thing that we're actually offering for. And so in order to get there, we try to build a tool that really appeals to designers, that has a look and feel for designers, that looks, you know, like a designer tool, not like a developer tool, that acts like a designer tool, and that's what Blend is. It's a UI construction tool for designers that really, you know, allows you to do drawings on the platform you're actually going to use. It gives you layout management, it gives you animation, it gives you all the cool things you want to do when you design stuff.
Here's a question, I don't know if you can answer or not. Can you output things for WPFE using Blend?
Not in version 1. Version 1 is really targeted at WPF.
Okay.
So we'll be working obviously on WPFE in the future, but currently we're a WPF targeted tool.
Okay, but there will eventually be tools with which to create WPFE interfaces. Nice to know.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, the same philosophy that drives what we're doing for WPF will certainly also be there to drive WPFE apps.
Neat. All right. Either one of you guys want to add anything to what was just said there?
Expression Design already had an exporter for WPFE, so I want to use some of the Expression Suite.
All right, so then we already sort of have some tools that can do some interface work there. Uh-huh. Okay, that's pretty
cool. Just to give a brief background, like, as you probably know, we already did a version of the product before, like, we released a CTV back in January.
And I remember that.
It was called Expression Interactive Designer, and we had a channel line video back then as well. So over the last 9 months, we have made, like, significant progress, as probably Aaron will show you right now. But the two key things that I really liked, you know, in the last 9 months that we did was, A, we listened to our customers, we listened to their feedback, and we made it happen in many cases. And as far as, you know, there are constraints for resources and time and stuff, but we did make it happen. And B, I think the user experience is great, as you can see right now. So,
we really over the last, like, well, early this year, we started to look at the application as it was, and kind of like, It had a lot of the same functionality it has today, but it had a very different look and feel, and it had a very, very different user interface.
Yeah, so this doesn't look like your standard Microsoft developer app at all.
So we sat down and we really wanted two things. One thing is we wanted an app that allows you to focus on the art that you create. You know, mm-hmm. basically, you know, what you're really interested in when you create stuff is your artboard. This is what you care about, the art you're creating. Well, right now that's a pretty black rectangle that Aaron is creating there. But once you have content there, you know, it's getting a little bit more interesting. So one thing was, you know, we wanted a user interface that allows you to focus on the art you're working on, but at the same time we wanted something, you know, that has the right, that gives the right emotional connection, something that looks like a designer tool, something that feels friendly, that doesn't look stiff like a, you know, like a typical business app, office mm-hmm. app or something like that. And so in a certain sense, it's really contradictory requirements. On one hand, you want a UI that steps back and becomes almost invisible so that you can focus on your art. On the other hand, you want a UI that is a little bit memorable, that you look at and you say, oh, that's expression blend, that really, you know, gives a branding and sends a message.
I gotta say, you guys are completely different from like every single other group at Microsoft in that sense. You know, I mean, this is like brand new stuff kind of that you're doing here.
And so when we sat down and we said, Aaron, these are the contradictions. Do something with that. And, you know, Aaron went off and did some, I think it's
so they put this on your shoulders then, Aaron?
I guess so. I got a lot of help on the way as well. I think, like you asked me earlier about my background a little bit. My background actually is in traditional traditional illustration.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a painter as well as a drawer, I guess you could say. And I've been working in design for a number of years, so I feel like having a broader perspective as far as my background's concerned has sort of helped me approach this the problem of the user interface in a little bit different light. And I'm also really focused on how, as a designer, I work, mm-hmm. and kind of, in a way, I guess I built an interface that it's like, gee, this is what I'd like to use.
Okay.
So being a designer and working with other designers and knowing how, like you said when you came in, the lights were off. I like to work in a little bit of a darker environment. Most designers I know do. Of course, that's anecdotal, but
I want stats. I want numbers. I want pie charts.
However, you know, so an interface.
I don't know, office department.
So the interface. I was imagining, you know, using it in a darkly lit or a dimly lit room. I wouldn't want a very bright white interface that's going to sort of
ruin that ambiance.
Yeah, ruin that or kind of be this glaring contrast between the screen and my environment. That was sort of the initial approach. And also I wanted to have this this feel of things that were fairly flat and that sort of played to the idea that the screen is in fact a two-dimensional object. And
almost like the table you're actually drawing on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We really didn't want to have, you know, this plastic embossed look that is very popular right now, you know, like everything like round and embossed and
the gel
blobby,
look,
blobby gel look, exactly, mm-hmm. that's the name
Web
for it. We really wanted to get to something, you know, that goes back, be flat, step back, you know, take back the user interface and focus on me.
This is the new gel look.
Exactly.
Right, okay. Well, very good. Well, can you run us through a little bit of the product here?
Actually, since
or the one who likes to break the product.
Hasn't had a chance to talk very much. I'll let him drive.
Give him a chance.
That's cool.
I don't have all the answers because I'm new here, but I'll show you a little bit of stuff that I.
That's awesome, man. 3 weeks and wow. Okay, so we really got fresh blood working on the project. You want to turn on the lights so that it's more like a traditional. We'll be able to pick up the monitor here.
You're gonna be able to pick it up.
Yeah, as long as we're not doing faces, I can definitely get the monitor.
How's that?
So. Even we could get rid of the other one. There we go. So it's a traditional artist environment here.
I can just throw in a couple of things. So while we did a lot of work on the look, and I mean, Aaron did, really a marvelous job on that, we also tried to really change the user interface a lot from what it was before. So mm-hmm. before, like, we had a, you know, like, property editing, just changing, you know, properties. If you go over here, you know, like, setting colors and doing things like that is one of the main things you do all day. And before, we had all that stuff distributed in lots of floating palettes. And what we try to do is really, you know, to build a much more efficient experience where everything is nicely in one space. Where
it's all docked and pretty.
Yeah,
and
it's not only docked, but it's also like there's really good ways of finding all that stuff and you know, to have
so
very fast access to the things. And you can search through these things. Just type, like,
something, you know, it filters the things as you type with every character you delete, you know, more things.
Wait a minute, what? So you can, like, actually bring up functionality through the search tool?
Yeah, for example, if you just say scroll, so this property doesn't have anything scrollable, let's see something with, for example. So you see, not only properties that have somehow the name WI in there.
Oh, that's really cool. So you got width for the layout. Yeah. And
the things, you know, there are so many properties in WPF that you can deal with that sometimes filtering it is really, really helpful.
So it's very keyboard friendly, yeah. It looks like.
And, you know, we have the ability to get rid of the, you know, all the workspace, and then you can still get the property through these little pop-up palettes. So, you know, there's a lot of things.
So it's designed to get out of your way, too,
exactly.
When you want it to.
Exactly. The idea is, you know, get the tools that you want.
Excuse you.
Get the tools that you want where you want them. And let me get back to all that stuff here and then get to my rectangle. You know, get the tools where you want them. You know, when I
so this right here is this would be, you know, the user interface for. For an application, then.
Yeah.
If that's what you're building here.
Now I'm just playing with a rectangle and just setting some colors and some gradients you see on object UI, so I can change the way how things actually are positioned on the fly without having to change properties. So this type of stuff is just, you know, we wanted something that is
so nice, create a nice gradient background. And
exactly.
Could you put together a quick and dirty UI for me just for an application?
Yeah,
come on, come over here and break this sucker.
Okay, let's go back here. We can do a quick background here, so we still keep the old. What is that here?
So we're just giving a nice little background with some color. Okay.
Then change this color here, a bit more red here, and we can add controls pretty easily. You can see here on the timeline and objects, the layers that the objects that I'm adding, and there's a little cool feature here. You can see all the controls that are available.
Oh, wow. All right, so...
pretty new.
Fortunately, we do have the good old-fashioned button. Developers are going to recognize that. Checkbox, combo box. So could you drop out a few of these and, like, just show us how they work? Yeah, button is good. Everybody understands the button control.
Yeah, we have the old button, but actually...
Oh, look at that! That's a traditional good old-fashioned button. But can you make it pretty?
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure if I can do it in seconds, but let me try. We have something really cool here with the WPF. It's the template, so I can come here and create empty, and then create a copy of this template.
So you can take, you could possibly take this control, then design it up how you want to, and then turn it into a template for future buttons?
Yes.
That's nice.
So I can here. Now, if you go to the objects over here, you can see the elements that we have, and we can change everything. We have the content presenter, so I can change the foreground, anything you want. But what I like more here is the ability to change everything, so I can just create a new green empty. So, and we have our template.
They've just got a border there, huh?
Then we can
nothing
do.
In there.
There's nothing actually, so
really?
I can start from the ground up.
So you can actually build a control like this?
Yeah,
just by,
exactly. Huh. So I can draw a grid. So if you go here to the our layers, I can put other stuff so my button can have a same rectangle that we were doing before.
Wow. Okay, borders. So you just created like a circular. A button type control with a gradient background?
Yeah.
Huh.
And all that without any code, so designers will be very comfortable using this. And we can add text or animations or anything we want here.
So does this inherit then from a basic button object and provide all that functionality?
Mm-hmm.
So that no matter how it looks, it's still going to behave just like a good old button.
Yeah, the code behind it it stays intact. And so you can basically, it's almost like a front end for all the logic and stuff that's going on behind it. You can also quickly set up states, so rollover behavior, crest, on-crest behavior.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Other things like toggle button would have, you know, is checked.
So you've got, property triggers, okay, and event triggers. I see, and it sounds like you've got a lot of developer-centric kind of features here that have been reworded so they make sense to artists.
Exactly.
In
that
sense.
That was, I think, one of the goals, to create a hybrid environment where It's a little bit more of a crossover.
Although we are actually still in WP in Blend version 1, we're still pretty close to the metal in exposing the features of WPF.
Yeah.
And that has some good sides and some bad sides. One good side is that once you actually have spent some time as a designer and actually learned something about WPF, you speak the same language as the developers that take content from you and integrate it into the overall application, and that helps a lot in the overall workflow.
Okay.
You know, as you're building client applications with WPF, you're probably working with a team of developers together, and at some point you need to understand what each other is saying. So
this is like a soft landing almost.
Yeah.
This is like a way of everybody kind of coming together with a common language.
Yes,
yeah.
Because if we change completely, drastically, brutally the concept that the developers are speaking about and the concept the designer is speaking about, that's making it very, very hard, you know, to communicate and work together. Blend actually opens Visual Studio solutions. So if, for example, a developer provides, you know, some code as some backend for functionality, you as a designer can actually attach a user interface to that pretty much, you know, with just drag and drop and without coding, and, you know, style it, make it look pretty. But at certain points, you know, development is usually quite iterative, so people will want to add more functionality. It's important that designers and developers speak the same language.
Yeah.
And that's one thing it does. Downside is, of course, that there is a certain learning curve in it. WPF is not a trivial platform.
Yeah.
There is some learning involved, but it's worth it. And we've tried to make the product so that you can take easy steps first that are really just drawing. You know, you can just draw stuff and let your developer integrate it. And as you learn more about the platform, you can use much more sophisticated functions such as resources, styling, and template, and triggers, and animations, and all the real cool things that are there.
Yeah, so now, I mean, as this kind of goes along, you know, I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking about how it's basically going to change everything in a lot of ways. Is this a requirement for future applications, or could a developer still just build a basic UI using Visual Studio and run with that? Or are they going to have to use Blend?
I think that in general, great usability is becoming more and more of a requirement for applications of any type. You know, when the early cars came out early in the, you know, like 100 years ago, a little bit more than 100 years ago, they were way less convenient than horses, but people used them because they were new. It was feasible. Oh, wow, there's a machine that can drive.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something that people would do because it was new. But as cars matured, you know, other things became more important. And up to the point that today people buy cars usually because of aesthetic requirements, you know, oh,
right,
it's beautiful, it has a great color, it looks great, or because of practical things, it has better cup holders, and, you know, it's more usable than another car.
Mm-hmm.
Few people I know, you know, really make technical considerations, you know, the core issue why they buy a car.
Because we've got the car concept down.
Yeah, we get it, you know.
Yeah.
There are lots of companies who can build
cars. We know where to stick the wheel, we know where to stick the gear thingy.
Exactly, and I think software is basically going down the same way. You know, software is finally so mature that it's not just about feasibility, about fascination with, oh my God, we can do something in software we could never do before. But now it's about, how can we do the stuff we do well? How can we do it in such a way that it's fun to do it? You know, that it's enjoyable, that it's effective, that it's a good experience.
And a big differentiator then will be as well, just how beautiful can I make my application?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's always, you know, there are things that are important. Form is important, function is important.
You want to make people want to use your app, and you can do that with Blend,
exactly,
essentially.
Right. WPF, you know, modern user interface platforms, and, you know, WPF is Microsoft, are a way of doing that better than before. You know, they give you much richer possibilities, animation, colors, and tons of things that have been really, really hard to do before. And this type of stuff really makes a difference in what type of user experience you can build and how much it costs you to build that stuff.
Which,
you know, is another factor. Yes, you can build a lot of things, you know, with just a routine to draw pixels, but it's very, very expensive to do.
Yeah.
And so these type of platforms lower the costs of doing great user experience. And that,
so
we believe that's important. Now, in some areas, it's immediately important. You know, today if you do consumer applications, it's almost really an absolute must to do that type of stuff. But even in line of business applications, it becomes more and more important. And on the web, of course, hey, not even a question asked.
Yeah.
It's just a must to do.
So what's it like for you guys to be working on this product that, you know, is basically going to go out and, I don't want to say like revolutionize the way the desktop apps are written, just because that's one of those words that's overused, but that kind of is what, you know, is going to happen here, right? I mean, you're doing a lot of guesswork. you know, you have to do a lot of guesswork because you're going there first. You know, you're going there before anybody else has gone there. And, I mean, how are you making these decisions? How are you guys figuring this stuff out? Is it just you going around saying, well, this is broken and I hate this? Or is it you just going, well, I've got an idea for a feature? I mean, you're really making the first few steps here, right?
Well, We've been trying to work with a lot of early adopter customers. So we've been going out, you know, talking to customers who've actually been doing these type of things on the web, and, you know, companies who've been trying to do these type of things on the desktop with other tools, you know, painful as it may have been. Mm-hmm. And we try to talk to them and to see how things, how they actually want to work and how things are done. And a lot of us actually have been software developers. I worked at ISVs, you know, doing video editing applications and compositing systems and audio software and stuff like that for many, many years. And, you know, we've been actually trying to do that stuff for many years, you know, attractive user interfaces that are cool and sexy. And it was really hard to do. So many of that comes from that experience. And then the big second direction is, you know, on the web, you see a lot of things that are being done. And really, in a certain sense, amazing that that is, but the desktop really in many ways is trying today to emulate the web. You know, the web made this step to rich user experiences, to, you know, graphics-based stuff instead of form-based layout, you know, not just everything just rows and columns of buttons, but sexy hand-drawn controls and things like that. The web really has started with that much earlier, and in a certain sense, the desktop is really just following, you know, attaching these types of user experiences to all the capabilities of a desktop machine, you know, what you can do in the back end.
I think one of the reasons for that is that the web offered up a wider variety of tools that were easier to access for designers and maybe you call it developer lights, you know, people who kind of got their feet wet a little bit but weren't necessarily a full-on developer. Mm-hmm. And I think that made it easier for richer user experiences to be explored and developed, and it was cheaper as well. You could just go and experiment and do something crazy. It was like, hey, this doesn't really have any kind of revenue, you know, intention behind it, but it's a cool idea. And you know, I could definitely see WPF doing something like that for the desktop, where it brings a creative experimentation to the desktop a little bit more with something like this WPF.
So you think it'll lead to like a whole new breed of application that,
like,
or possibly,
like you said, this is sort of like the,
you don't know yet.
Yeah, this is groundbreaking, and I think it's also important to keep in mind that this is a version one product, and it definitely, to me, it speaks to the potential of this technology of where it can go.
It's almost like a version one idea too.
This
though.
Is really, I mean, yeah, first neat. Step into this world that I think, as a designer myself, that's what gets me excited about it. And that's why I wanted to come and work on this team, was the chance to build help build from the ground up a product for other designers, for something that I would use. That was kind of exciting to be able to be part of that.
How many of you were actually from Microsoft before? I mean, how many of you came to Microsoft from other companies, or how many of you, let's just see a show of hands before I can confuse it so much. How many of you worked at Microsoft before this project? Okay. So what project did you come from?
Or? I was actually contracting for MSN Games, their online game platform of the casual game environment. And so this story of working designer and developer together was exactly what I was doing there as a game artist and game designer.
I was wondering about you specifically just because to have, you know, like the kind of artist sensibilities tied into an understanding of, you know, what the developer needs, that's got to be a rare, you know, mindset, right? There's not a lot of people walking around with those qualifications.
Yeah.
So I was kind of wondering where you would come from, you know, like where you would get those experiences.
Yeah, I was working at for MSN Games, helping to develop first party games for their casual game site. And in that role, I was working side by side with developers who were, you know, who were doing the coding, and I was providing the graphics and the interface and stuff, and then trying to have that communication between, okay, move it a little bit this way and make it work a little bit more like this. So presented with what this program here was supposed to do, I was like, oh, wow, that would be really cool because, you know, it'd be nice to have a little bit more firsthand involvement in the process.
Then you got to work on it, yeah. That's great. And you, sir, where were you before this team?
From the corporate website, Microsoft.com.
Okay, so you were doing sort of like design work, or?
Yeah, also, and prototypes and a little bit of development.
Okay. And so then it's really the two of you who weren't at Microsoft before. So you're from the outside. Can we start with you?
I came here like 3 years ago as an intern, and after 6 months I joined as a full-time employee.
Okay.
And I've been here for like almost 2.5 years. So
have you been on this project the whole time?
No, but I used to do a bunch of graphics research in school. Mm-hmm. And though my thesis is in information retrieval and visualization, I was very much interested in graphics, so that was the reason I chose to work. And this team, this was like a V1 product, and we were doing, back then we had pretty much like, it was like this big space out there where we weren't really sure what it was. There was lots of fun to make those decisions, and you know, so it was very open-ended, so it was very attractive. It's always, I think, in my personal opinion, it's great to work on a V1 product because you have ability to basically direct where you want to go as opposed to, you know, being in a V12 product or a V15 product
where it's already set in stone, and you're just doing iterative changes.
Yeah, but I guess I'm the youngest of all the guys here, so...
But you know, though, your point of view, I mean, the research it sounds like you were doing is really interesting, because I'm sure a lot of devs, and, I'm not dissing the product, you know, but I'm sure a lot of devs are going to look at it and be like, oh, that's just eye candy foof. But the reality is, this is going to give them really, really very, very efficient new ways of presenting data, right?
Right. So if you go back to the history, the reason why this product was ever conceived in the first place was to ensure that the platform, which is WPF, was doing the right things. So it was pretty much like a testbed application where we wanted to make sure that people who are going to use the platform can build something like this using the platform, you know?
Yeah.
So back then, like, our roles, like, across the team were to basically give feedback to the WPF team, make sure that they are addressing the audience that we are trying to target, which is the design community. They don't go building a platform which, you know, which is very difficult for our community, which is the designers out there, to address, and, you know, ensure that there is good workflow possibilities between the designer and developer, of course. So it was very interesting back then, because pretty much the platform was very raw, and we helped,
yeah,
you know, put like a nice shape around it, so it's what it is today. So
yeah.
I think our I guess the WPF team pretty much appreciates what we did for them, and we are really grateful to them. They heard us, they took our feedback, and they made a lot of things happen. You know?
Yeah, I just think it's interesting because I think a lot of people are going to focus on what they can do in terms of, you know, flashy interfaces and kind of forget that you could do some really, really interesting things with, like, drilling down into data and displaying it in...
And back then, like, 3 years ago, we were doing a lot of research, but some of it could not make it into the platform because of other concerns like time,
sure,
and resources. But back then, we were doing a lot of prototyping, you know, which some of the features never made it in. We're hopeful that in the future version of the platform, those things will make it in. So,
yeah.
Like, this team is great. Like, it has an equal balance of very experienced people like Kristen, and then, like, a whole bunch of college hires and, you know... people who have worked in some other industries and stuff like that. So it's great. Like the variety of people out here is I think it's critical for the success of this
team,
because there are so many perspectives that have been brought to the table.
You need that, yeah.
Yeah.
So Christian, looking at Blend, now there's a whole suite of products here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could you just tell me quickly what those different products are?
Yeah, so we have a design product for the web called Expression Web, not surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically a standards-based web editing product. So basically it does HTML, CSS, XSLT transforms and XML data, all the cool stuff that people want to do who build standards-based websites.
Will it work with ASP.NET and
yes,
everything? I mean, I imagine so. That was kind of a dumb question. So.
Yes. But it not only works with ASP.NET, you can also just use it to build an HTML site that uses other backends.
Hmm.
So
okay,
it's really a standards-based HTML editor, and it's actually very, very good. It's a very mature product. It's very cool. It just has RTM, so it will be for sale very, very soon. So
nice.
That's a very cool product. Then we have Expression Design. That's basically a vector drawing tool. In version 1, it focuses very much on producing XAML graphics, but it's really a general-purpose a vector graphics drawing product.
What is the difference between that and Blend?
Blend as a compositing application, as something that composes lots of blends, a lot of assets together.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
you can draw in Blend, but you can also but Blend's main job is to take a lot of assets and put them together, to animate them, to build them into layouts, you know, to lay out them,
yeah,
to draw them, and then actually to add behavior to it and, you know, make the whole thing an interactive application, make it a user interface, blend it with the code that sits behind and, you know, build a whole application.
Expression Design is much more a traditional design product such as Illustrator. It does know nothing about a runtime platform. Mm-hmm. It just creates static vector graphics. That's okay. What it does. But it does that.
So that puts a XAML, and then you could bring those objects into Blend and then make them part of your app.
So it basically has richer vector graphics functionality than what we have in Blend itself. And so it's a nice companion app to go with that.
Okay. It has a pretty good XAML exporter where you can actually group objects that you've created in the product and then give them names, and then it'll be able to pull those into Blend as, I guess, controls, or you can set them up as resource libraries, things like that, to use as brushes to apply to objects.
That's nice. So you can create like a big 3D dinosaur robot monster and actually use it in Blend for your application.
Yeah.
If you wanted.
Yeah.
Which you all do. I mean, you know, that's every developer's dream.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is actually, I think there's also another important factor in that is Blend, because Blend is in many respects WPF specific. It knows a lot about WPF, and it wants you to know a little bit about WPF. If you're just a visual artist, your background is visual arts, and you really don't want to learn any of that, then actually design is an easier entry point, because basically it's really just,
vector drawing.
A vector drawing application. You really don't need to know anything about anything WPF. If you're an interaction designer, if you really want to create interactive content or interactive application, then Blend is, a lot of fun for you. But if you're really somebody whose main focus is on, I want to create, a comp that looks good, then there's a lot more to learn in Blend than there is in design. And, from a workflow, the two work very nicely together. So both of these more specialized roles can work nicely together and find a tool that is, more optimized for their skills and interests.
Very good. Okay, so before I go, is there
like
anything?
One thing that
I was just going to ask.
We're just as foreign. There's basically, there's a pretty big team of people who has built Sparkle, and many of.
Yeah.
I mean, we're actually almost all people who've been relatively young on the team, and there's been lots of people in the team who've been here much longer than us who actually mm-hmm. started the project who couldn't be here today, and I just really think we have a great team and a real fun team to work with, and I don't think that Sparkle could be anywhere near what it is today without this caliber of a team that we have. And it's a fun team and a great team to work with.
All right. Anything else anybody else wants to add before I go? Or
let's see your button that you just made.
Let's go to Celso's desk. He has a couple of cool demos on his machine.
Can we do that? Can we go there?
Yeah,
that's
for you.
Building on it. I think that would be something you really should have a look at.
It's kind of fun to get to door the hallway with a camera. I'd make a great corporate spy, All right, so here we are in another office, as you probably figured out from the transition.
It's dark as well.
Yeah, it is dark. There's you artist people, you've got this dark thing going on, and you all have dolls.
You gotta have your inspiration.
Yeah. Very cool. So...
Show the Pantone thing.
Which one?
The Pantone thing, the color selector thingy.
Cool. It's here. Pantone. Well, we were talking about those buttons. We are trying to redesign the button, but this area right here, this is a very simple application built 100% with Blend.
Okay.
So if I click...
Wow! Okay. That's pretty cool.
And just... to have an idea how powerful is the templates and all the reskin that you can do, this is a list box inside of a list box using buttons.
Did you do this?
Yes.
And you've been here for 3 weeks?
Yeah. But I used a little bit before, but...
Yeah, he's been doing projects for us before.
All right. So can you make that thing go back and then make it come out again? That's just too exciting.
Wow.
And this is 100% of using Expression Blend without any...
Wow!
Anything.
So there's no coding, it's just
no
Blend?
No coding.
So that's like timeline stuff, or?
Yes, exactly. We call it storyboards.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying. I don't have the vocabulary for it because I'm just a pure dev.
I used to call it.
No, but that shows you, like a lot of the coding. While there are things in there that operate, like buttons or like list boxes, it shows they don't have to look like that stuff at all. You can do pretty much anything you want and, build like really visually rich things.
So that's what those are. That's like composited list boxes and combo boxes? And
Exactly.
Okay, that's amazing.
One of the things I'm most excited about is to see this product get out there into the design community and then hopefully get back some crazy stuff that people are doing with it that we're like, whoa, I never even thought you could do that. I mean, because you have all these very powerful preset controls, and combining those in different ways, I'm positive that we'll be able to get some really, really funky stuff.
It's almost like the very popular building block, whose name I'm not sure if I'm allowed to mention because of copyrights and trademarks, but, you know, that children use to build things like those Star Wars toys. I knew it, man. See? Dinosaurs. Didn't I say dinosaurs before?
You were talking about dinosaurs before. Also, this is just a button with some styles, some animations.
So that's a simpler thing, but still very nice. You know, brings attention to what it is that you're hovering on.
But click on one of these.
And 3D content here.
Wow. Okay.
Again, this is completely 100% Expression Blend without any C# code.
How do you make the 3D model? Do you use like another 3D tool and then bring it in?
I import from a 3DS
file. So you can bring those in for Blend?
Yeah, you do have control.
Actually supports full 3D, so real 3D, not fake 3D or anything.
And you can bring in 3DS meshes?
Real 3D objects and, you know, attach animation and behavior to them.
Okay, I like this because I'm a space nerd, and that's just, that is so cool.
This is, again, it's a button with a 3D content inside of the button.
So that's a button?
It's a button.
Okay, I'm sorry to yell, but that's just really, really neat. I mean, I'm used to a button looking just like a plain old button. Wow!
So you can interact with the content. Again, very easy to animate inside of Blend. This is no C# at all.
So this Mars model here, is this the same model that's down here?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I just use another location.
That is so nice. I mean, that's just nice. So no code? There's no code?
No code.
There's actually one other thing. I think you know, these things look like stuff you could see in a web application potentially.
Maybe.
But with WPF, you can do things with a scalability from that to something like Blend itself that is built with exactly the same technology. That type of scalability, I don't think any other UI platform has at this point. You know, to be able to build, you know, like the full authoring tool itself is built in WPF.
Yeah.
And, you know, many pieces of it can actually be just edited with Sparkle itself. You know, Blend itself can edit Blend.
Okay, that's kind of a weird thought, Oh, that looks like familiar copyrighted content.
This is just for internal testing. We're not going to publish this.
Oh, that's fun.
But this is, again, they are just buttons. Restyle it. So you can click
So you here. Just give the button a shape, and then you just tell it what color to be.
And there's some template binding, really cool stuff.
Animation in it, and you see it gets bigger
and you can
when you go over.
Paint everything in. If you don't mind my asking, how long would it take to do something like this once you really know the product?
Well, I don't know very well, and it took me just a few hours to...
Really?
It took more time to draw the vector shape.
Okay. than to do the controls.
Which, so there's an example. I mean, you could potentially create this... You could potentially create that. I don't know if you did so, also, but you can make that in
design. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's changed names recently.
So this might actually create a lot of work for artists inside of corporations and such, I would imagine.
Yeah. I think there's some worry out there that this is going to compete against existing technologies, but I really see it as sort of opening another door for creatives and designers to a market that has kind of been restricted up till now.
Yeah, I mean, it's so tightly integrated with, you know, the business end of things that,
So this is the button. There's a template binding really cool here that if I go inside of this object, I can go to edit template, and you can see over here on the right the parts of the object. So there's a path, there's the reflection, the shadow, each of them.
And you can just modify each of those... So you can modify the reflection right now, just on its own?
Uh-huh, just here, we can just do another...
Sorry, I know the camera's in the way.
No problem, so if I change this guy, we can see the...
Well, not to disparage your earlier work on Aaron's computer, but this is much nicer than that one button you made an hour ago.
Yeah, I'm glad you came here.
This is really amazing. this is good stuff.
And the pretty cool stuff about WPF is here... the fill is not defined for each button. There's a template binding here to the background of the control itself. So if I go up one level, I will go back to my button. and it's defined by the background of the button. So if I change the background of the button, it changes the color of the.
So basically what that allows you, it allows you to create a component that has content and then change the content with the normal properties of a button. So this thing really reacts like a button. If you change the button color, the color of some complex vector shape inside changes, which is really cool because that really makes it possible for you to build components that really behave like, you know, the things you use to mold them.
Well, because this could still be modified programmatically.
Yes.
And that's really neat.
And it's much, much faster that way to create basically components that allow you to do something like that. Go back to show the full artboard where you see all these buttons.
So you just iterate through a collection of these things inside the colors.
Exactly, where you have all of these. You can either do it in code or you can do it just manually, but you don't have to go into... You know, each of these shapes has at least three shapes in there. With normal technologies, you would have to open this group for every shape, change colors inside, go back up, but you don't have to do that. You can just do it from the outside of the component because you can bind into, you know, the color settings of whatever is in there.
Fantastic.
Of course, more complex components can be written by developers that you don't really, as a designer, need to worry about how it's working. And because the fact that the look is completely separate from the behavior, you can focus on the look for the control inside Blend and let the developer do all the heavy-duty work in Visual Studio or whatever the developer tool he uses.
Yeah, that's another cool thing is that developers can actually create custom controls that can then be brought in to Blend and to be edited by a designer. Working on some internal demos and stuff like that, working with people like Uni, it's been really cool to be able to do that, where they basically do all sort of the programming stuff, and they go, okay, here's the sort of the generic item, and then I can go in and style it using Blend, you know, position things, layout, and all that kind of stuff, get it just right, and then say, okay, it's ready to go. Wow. It's kind of exciting.
Part of Blend itself, like, it's a chicken and egg problem. When we were doing this tool, we didn't have a tool of this nature. So back then, Aaron didn't have the luxury of, like, you know, using something as sophisticated as what it is today. So, but still, Aaron could export a bunch of styles for buttons and stuff, and then the dev team or even the program management team could go. And because XAML is so easy to understand for people, you don't need to be, like, you know, a very sophisticated developer to do things. Like, you can integrate bits and pieces.
It's very human readable.
So Aaron used to generate some of the content, and I, for example, used to just go into the source code and just integrate it and just build it, and lo and behold, it's just running, you know.
That's fantastic.
It was interesting. The workflow that we used for building our own UI is
I mean, we kind of like had to bootstrap the workflow because we didn't have, you know, the tools, so we kind of like step by step got there, but also, you know, you said before, you know, because there's a lot of new things. I think it will take some time in the communities out there, you know, for the workflow, you know, the standard workflow to emerge. There will be lots of different workflows going on at the time. In some cases, you know, still developers will be driving a lot of things. In other cases and for other types of applications, designers will start to drive things just like they do on the web. So there will be all kind of different workflows emerging, and we'll just have to listen to what customers want to do and, you know, optimize our workflow for the most common scenarios as this technology goes out. But what we have today, you know, from the feedback we got from the early adopters who've been playing with it for quite some time, you know, they're just happy. I mean, it's working well.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, thanks, guys. I'm going to let all of you go and have a Friday night, and going to give myself a Friday night, too. But any last, very, very last things you wanted to say?
Nope. Take time to use the product. Have fun.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for your time and for showing me the product, showing me around, and showing me the apps. You know, I mean, that really is fantastic work. I was really, really impressed with that.
Actually,
I mean, it was beautiful.
We're going to have a beta out very, very soon, December 4th, and, you know, we want to invite everybody to play with it. And
I'm sure they will.
Really looking forward to hear your feedback.
Okay. Well, good. Well, good night, everybody. Thanks for your time. And, you know, hopefully I'll get to come back when this stuff is all done. We can see how it all works together and how everything turned out. Okay, good night.
Cool.